I want to teach from the Word a little while, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to pray President Trump through to victory. Yes. Amen. Yes. Are you in agreement with me? Yes. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're in our series on angels, and we're going to continue on that tonight. This is part three, angels, dreams, and visions. Praise God. So, Father, thank you for your Word tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us, Lord. Confirm your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. You know, Jesus actually predicted that the ministry of angels would be manifested. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, we see this. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. You know, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And in the Jordan River, I had the privilege of, when I was in Israel in November, being baptized in the Jordan River, probably pretty close to where John was baptizing. So I'm not sure exactly about that, but it wasn't too far away anyway. But the same river that Jesus was baptized in. But while Jesus prayed, when he was baptized, John baptized him, it says, and while he prayed, what happened? Heaven was opened. While he prayed, the heaven was opened. And then in John 1, 51, Jesus is speaking here, and he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see what?
Heaven.
Heaven open. And what's going to happen when heaven is open? And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, I heard Brother Mark Brzee talking about this years ago, and it really stuck with me that, number one, that prayer opens heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And here it says that you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he was the body of Christ, right? On the earth. Now he's back in heaven, and we are the body of Christ. So I believe that as we pray, that heaven will be opened and the angels of God will be ascending and descending upon the body of Christ, working on behalf of the church. Amen? Praise God. So prayer opens heaven. Write this down. I think this is a great statement. Prayer opens heaven and gives angels access and permission to work on our behalf. Prayer opens heaven and gives angels access and permission to work on our behalf. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at primarily one incident or one example in Scripture about the ministry of angels and also about visions, because visions are involved here as well. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. And this is a familiar passage to most of us, I would think. Acts 10, verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Let's stop right there. What happened to him the ninth hour of the day? He saw what? Well, he did. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God. So if you said vision, you were right. If you said angel, you're right, because it happened. He saw the angel in a vision. He saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now, what is this? Well, this is a word of knowledge. This is a word of knowledge manifested in a vision through an angel. Because look at what he tells him. He tells him that over in Joppa, there's a man named Peter, tells him where he's staying. Amen. He could not have known that otherwise. Amen. That's one of the gifts of the word of knowledge is the gift of the Spirit. And it reveals God knows everything. And he gives as he wills, as his Spirit wills, he gives us a word of knowledge. He reveals to us something, a fact or something in this case about a man named Simon, whose surname is Peter. He says, he'll tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now let's talk about this guy, Cornelius, for a minute. So Cornelius, it says he was a devout man, and he was a centurion. So he was a military leader, and he was in the Italian regiment. He was a Roman, and he was a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, but he wanted to know the true God. And he knew that the Roman gods were false gods, and so he had embraced the Jewish religion. And he was serving God, he was following God according to what he knew of the Old Testament. He was serving the true God, but he just needed to know more. But because he wanted to know God and had a heart to know God, God accommodated him. He said, he sent an angel, and this angel said, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial to God. So that's what summoned the angel. Prayer, again, we saw it last week. We looked at example over and over the examples of where prayer was essential in angels being released to work on behalf of mankind. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Daniel was praying and an angel came. In fact, the angel told Daniel, he said, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, he said, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Remember that? Amen? All right. So the angel comes to Cornelius, and he gives him guidance. He gives him direction. And he gets two of his household servants, and he gets one of the soldiers to go. The three of them head toward Joppa to find this guy that the angel told him about named Peter. Meanwhile, in Joppa, here's what's happening in Joppa. Verse 9, the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. Has ever happened to you when you're trying to pray? You start thinking about food. What's for lunch? He became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while that, so don't feel bad. Even the great apostle Peter had to deal with that. Amen. All right. He became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners. What's happening? Peter's having a vision. This is a trance, which is an open vision. All right? A great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it, in this sheet, were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. You're hungry. Here it is." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean." Peter was a good Jew, and he had only eaten kosher foods. He had not eaten anything that was unclean. He had not eaten any animals that were unclean, and all kinds of animals were in here, clean and unclean both, were in this sheet. Verse 15, and a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times. So he sees this three different times, and then the object was taken up into heaven again. So he falls into this trance, has this vision, and then he's not sure of the meaning of it. He said, What does it mean? Why did you show me this? What does it mean? Well, God had given it to him, given him this vision to prepare him for what he was calling him to do next, for what was about to happen. Verse 17, now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So there they are. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So the messengers arrived from Cornelius. They'd been sent, of course, at the direction of the angel that appeared to Cornelius. And because of the vision, Peter is prepared to receive the men. And the Bible says that the Spirit said to him while he's thinking about the vision, this is the Holy Spirit speaks to him. You know, not as spectacular, but just as supernatural. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says, while he thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." What is that again? That's the word of knowledge. How's he going to know that otherwise? He's on top of the house. They're at the gate. He can't see them. But he knows. God shows him. The Spirit speaks to him and says, "Three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down. Get off the roof. Go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them." Okay, now, this just to throw this out here, just so you don't think Peter's crazy for getting up on the roof to pray. Most of us would not get up on the roof of our house to pray. Well, of course, in those days, you know, they had the flat roof and they had like they do in apartments in cities today. They have on the rooftops, people have gardens up there. They have patios, they have real recreation areas up there. That's what this roof was like. It was like a patio, and probably a nice place to do some praying at. But so he gets down and goes with them. And why did the Lord have to speak so dramatically to Peter? If we can close those doors, Mike. We need to remember to do that before we start service on Wednesday night. It seems like the traffic gets noisy. Why did the Lord have to speak so dramatically? Do you and I need a vision to go and preach the gospel to people? We shouldn't. Amen. We've already got a command from Jesus, don't we? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Amen. So why did the Lord have to speak so dramatically? Why did he have to give him the vision, repeat it three times? So that Peter would be willing to go to the Gentiles. See, up until that time, the church was entirely Jewish. They didn't know that Gentiles could be in on this as well. They just thought Jesus was the Savior of the Jewish people. Amen. So Peter arrives at Cornelius' house. In verse 28 of Acts 10, it says, "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation.'" That's why he had reservations about doing it and wouldn't have done it unless he'd had that supernatural experience, unless he'd had that vision. All right. "But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." And so he got it. He got what God was trying to communicate to him in the vision. What God has cleansed, don't call it common or unclean. He said, "God's shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." All right. "Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?'" So he's at Cornelius' house, and there's a crowd gathered, Cornelius and all his household and his servants and different people. There's a crowd of people there. And so he says, "Okay, I'm here." And so then Cornelius responds, verse 30. So Cornelius says, four days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Now again, think about this. Cornelius, again, he was not saved yet. He's about to get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit here. But he's seeking God. He wants to know God. And the Bible, and the verses we read earlier about him, it says he prayed to God always. This wasn't the first time that he prayed that an angel appeared to him. And we find out here that not only was he praying, he was also fasting, wasn't he? See that? 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Well, what hour was it? Well, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. They started their day at 6 a.m. was the first hour. You remember the day of Pentecost, it was 9 a.m. Peter said, "You know, these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." Well, ninth hour would be 3 p.m., okay? He says, "I was fasting until this hour, And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Now, notice that. That's how he describes the angel. He describes the angel as a man in bright clothing. That's what the angel looked like. The angel looked like a man, but his clothing was shining. He was shining with the glory of God. He said, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms. Now, his alms, that was his giving. So here's a whole nother thing that, see, God responds to our giving. When we tithe and when we give and when we are consistent in honoring God that way, God will move on our behalf. Amen. Amen. Get a hold of that. God, when you're generous, when you tithe and give, God will do supernatural things for you. Amen. Your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. Now, Cornelius wasn't praying to have a vision. Cornelius wasn't praying to see an angel. He didn't say, oh, Lord, give me a vision. Oh, Lord, I'd like to see an angel. He was just praying because that's what he normally did. Amen. He was just seeking God as he normally did. All right. And notice this, that the angel's job and the purpose of the vision that Peter had was to get Peter to Cornelius' house so those gathered there could hear the gospel. Amen. Amen. Notice that the angel couldn't lead Cornelius to salvation. Amen. You know, I've read some of the testimonies of some of the Muslim folks in the Middle East, in Syria and Iran and those places where Jesus has appeared to them and in dreams. And it's happening very frequently. I believe it's something like, I've heard two different numbers. One statistic, 25% of all the Muslims that are getting saved, Jesus appears to them. I've heard numbers higher than that, statistics higher than that. But in every case that I've read about, every testimony that I've read, they don't get saved at the moment that when Jesus appears to them, it opens their heart and they have to find a Christian to tell them the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God gave us that job. God didn't give that job to angels. Cornelius couldn't say, the angel couldn't say, Cornelius, you know, call on the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. The angel had to say, you need to send some messengers down to Joppa and find a man named Peter and get him to come. And he's got something that he needs to tell you. And what he tells you, listen to him. That's all the angel could do. Then Peter had to do his part. So he did. So Peter came and he says, all right. So in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Peter, as he's preaching to them, he's operating on the assumption that they knew something about Jesus, because this is not too far removed from the time that Jesus' ministry was on the earth. And they were there. This was Caesarea, where Cornelius was at, was part of Judea. It was part of that area. And he would have known. They would have known about Jesus. And so he's operating under that assumption. He says, the word you know. And how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Peter's preaching the gospel. And then this happens. This is a verse you're familiar with. It's usually the one we skip to in this story. But then this happens. Verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. So some Jewish believers had come with Peter down to Cornelius' house, and they couldn't believe these Gentiles were getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues. It says, those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Praise God. So all that began by a man named Cornelius praying, giving alms, and his prayers and his alms came up as a memorial before God. And as a result, God sent an angel to him. And as a result, God gave Peter a vision and brought the two together so Cornelius and his household, all the Gentiles, could hear the gospel and be saved. And they're the first. Cornelius was the opening of the door of faith to the Gentiles. Praise God. Amen? And we got in on that. This is where the door opened for us to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Now, Peter comes back to Jerusalem and he's recounting this experience to the church in Jerusalem. Verse 13. And he told us, he's talking about Cornelius to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. This is Peter talking about Cornelius. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Listen, look at verse 14. Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. How are we saved? We're saved by hearing words. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they believe on Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Praise God. And so Peter was sent, they heard, and they believed. The angel couldn't preach the gospel to them. That was Peter's job, and he did. Hallelujah. In verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's the example that I want to use tonight. But I want to point out a couple of more verses here in Psalm 103. And then we're going to pray. We're going to spend the rest of our time this evening praying for our nation. And we're going to pray. I want to go ahead and talk about angels tonight and about visions, because I believe that God's going to work in these ways to save our nation. Amen. Amen. Our prayers, the prayers of God's people, cause heaven to open. Let me read that statement again that I read to you at the beginning. Prayer opens heaven and gives angels access and permission to work on our behalf. Praise God. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. The angels heed the voice of His word. Well, that's not just when God speaks it. That's when we speak it. That's when we speak it. Amen. Verse 21. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts. The host, that's the angelic armies. When it says host there, don't think about a restaurant. Don't think about a hotel. Don't think about greeters at church. Amen. Think about angels. God is called the Lord of hosts. The Lord of armies is another way to say it. Bless the Lord, all you His angelic armies. We could read that. You ministers of His who do His pleasure. What? Who are the angels? They're the angelic armies, and they're God's ministers, and they do His pleasure. They do God's pleasure. They do God's will. Amen. The New Living Translation says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out His plans. The angels of God do what? They carry out God's plans. Come on. Hallelujah. Listening for each of His commands. Verse 21. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels. See, there it is. Praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve Him and do His will. Hallelujah. And again, it's not just when God speaks the word, it's when we speak it, when we pray it, and when we speak it. Amen. Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. All right? The Bible, the scripture we read in Psalm 103 about the angels. Kim, if you'd put verse 21 in the New King James back up, Psalm 103, 21. Put that one back up for a moment. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do what? His pleasure. What do the angels do? They do God's pleasure. Well, we found out what His pleasure is in Psalm 35, 27. If we go back to that, be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. So the angels of God are at work seeing to it that God's servants prosper.